This Before We Flush podcast was recorded live in our studios with actual human beings. Now, Before We Flush.
Welcome back to the show. Hopefully it was a really good weekend. Ricky, we only had the one show last week. Didn't get a chance to pick on our show, but on my podcast, I was smart enough to pick American Pharoah to win the Preakness, and I got that one right. Did you pick publicly anywhere?
No, not publicly. I talked with a couple of friends, and I kind of felt like American Pharoah would probably win it. And, you know, this is 14 times now that we've had a horse win the first two legs of the Triple Crown since the last Triple Crown was won. Of course, all 14 of those horses had fallen into Belmont, so it'll be interesting to see what happens if that trend continues.
All right, so we shall see in a few weeks. But that horse has looked really good so far. I mean, he's run the kind of races that you would think you'd need to win a Triple Crown. But as you said, it's been elusive to a lot of horses to this point.
Yeah, and I think fatigue becomes a factor because that's a big race. The Belmont is long, and I don't think people realize how long it is. It's different. Each race in the Triple Crown is different, and I think that's one of the things that makes this such a unique and special accomplishment. And one that we haven't seen in my lifetime. And, I just think that, it'd be interesting to see if he can handle the distance and go out and complete the Triple Crown at the Belmont.
And it's always weird because you're counting on an animal to do something that they've never done competitively ever before. And you're going, well, they're the best at it, you think? But they've never done it before. That's kind of weird when we've seen, teams play basketball or anything else. Well, we've seen them play a 40-minute game. They don't get on to the next one and go, you're at the NCAA tournament. These are 44-minute games now. It's like, so that's a little different.
It is, and that's a great analogy. I mean, it is. It would be the equivalent of telling, major leaguers, okay, well, the first six games of the World Series were 9 innings. We're playing 18 tonight. I hope you have your pitching staffs ready. And there's not a lot of time for rest and adjustment. And these trainers, they have a really unique job and difficult one because they have to find that balance between making sure the horse stays ready, but also getting, making sure that the horse can have its rest. It's difficult. It's not unlike getting a team ready, after an OVC championship and then moving forward into the NCAAs. You've got time off, so you don't want to get rusty. But you don't want to get anybody hurt or overwork them before, for American Pharoah now, it'll be the biggest race of his career.
It'll be certainly fun to watch. We have a lot of sports we'll talk about. You and I were able to see each other last week, but it was not under good circumstances as our friend Kyle Rogers passed away from injuries he received in that distillery explosion. And a lot of what we focused on post, I know that was a tough couple of weeks, is celebrating just what Kyle meant to us. But he was a great guy, and I know the photo that they ran in the story was you sitting beside him. And I, during my podcast, I already talked a little bit about Kyle, and just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on him, if I could, Ricky.
Yeah, Kyle was one of my best friends, and it's been a really tough week, and it's hard, it's still hard to talk about and not get emotional, but we were really close, and we sort of walked side by side for a long time, in college socially and then also professionally. He was at the Murray State News whenever I started, and then eventually I hired him as a part-time writer at the Ledger. And you mentioned that photo. We did radio together for the Murray State women, and he was just a guy that he was really unique, and there's no one that I've ever met like Kyle Rogers, and I don't expect to meet anyone like that. And one of my favorite things about Kyle, he's the type of guy that everyone had a Kyle impression, and I thought that was a really touching part. Of the funeral was hearing the eulogies, and of course our other friend Tim McAllister delivered one of those, and it was great hearing some of the fun stories, some of the shenanigans that Kyle got himself into. But Kyle, everyone had a Kyle impression, and I thought that was that was just a really neat thing. But he was a great friend, and I'll really miss him. It was a tough weekend, and he got every little bit out of life, and he just I don't know what else you could say other than he was a really, really a great guy and a really special friend.
And there will still be some events that will try to help the family. Remember, they were away from, you know, their jobs and some other things, and there's a lot of extra expenses that people don't ever think about. So I just want to encourage people, when there's a rebate night or car wash or anything like that, that will help Kyle's family, please take part in that, because it really helps them out. You know, they're just great folks. I don't know them particularly well, but I have met them, and I just think they're just great people. They've been a big part of this community for a long time.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, you could tell the impact, you know, that family's had on the Murray community, not, you know, the university, the city. You know, it was really touching to see so many people come out and pay their respects to Kyle at the visitation, and then, of course, at the funeral, because Rhonda and Don are such a big part of the community. Their family has a long history in Murray and Callaway County, and Allison, of course, his sister. You know, the things that she's done, you know, not only through high school but in college and in her mission work. So, you know, really great family, really great people. And, you know, Kyle embodied that. He was a great reflection of the type of people that Don and Rhonda were.
Well, he was a big fan of Murray State, but also a big fan of Callaway County. That was his alma mater. And I want to talk a little bit about them, because we have a real star here in the county who just had a terrific time, and that is Lily Lowe there at Callaway County. Won the high jump, won the long jump, and the 300-meter hurdles. That's kind of hard to do, to do some of the things she was able to do, win the jumping event and a running event as well, and took all three of those, helped Callaway County to that third-place finish.
Yeah, that was impressive, the 300 hurdles. You know, that's about, you know, for my money, that's the most difficult race out there. You know, to compete in that is physically taxing and mentally grueling enough, you know, but to go out and also compete in the jumping events and to win those, that's impressive. You know, she's obviously a terrific athlete and, you know, does a lot of things for that program. And, you know, it's fun to see, you know, kids locally at the high school level that are as dominant as she has been. And, you know, Murray and Callaway have both had some dominant performers at the state level, you know, in track and field. And she certainly, you know, kind of made her niche as one of the best ever.
Murray High was expected to win the regional boys and girls Class A championships, and they did that, stepped up and just won a slew of events in taking that. And this has just been a dominant program at Class A as far as the regional level for a good while, Ricky.
Yeah, they have. You know, I remember, you know, covering that program early in Mark Bogus' tenure. And, you know, it's been really phenomenal what they've been able to accomplish, the culture that they've been able to establish, the identity. You know, they've got nearly every athlete in that school has committed, you know, not only to their other sports, but to track and field as well. And that's one of the things that, you know, that's what goes into building a successful track and field program, is going out to the basketball team and to the football team and to the boys and girls soccer team and to the volleyball team and getting these kids and pulling them out of something that might have been their primary sport and showing them how track and field can not only you know, accelerate them, you know, in that sport, but also can you know, really help them grow in what would be their primary sport. It provides great training, great conditioning. It makes you a better athlete. And so, you know, he's done a great job communicating that point to kids in Murray High, and everyone has bought in. And it's been really impressive what they've been able to do. And track and field is one of those, you know, in a race like the 100 meters, you've only got 11 or 12 seconds. And if something goes wrong, that's it. So, you know, You have to have an immense amount of focus. There's not a lot of time to make up for a mistake. And so to go out and to perform the way they've performed, you know, over the course of the last several years has been nothing short of impressive.
Murray State, their women finished sixth at the OVC Outdoor Championships, but a couple of championships. Tone Pratt with the discus and an OVC record, 171 feet, 4 inches. Brittany Bond won the steeplechase, so they made their mark on Saturday, too.
Right, and Pratt has been one of the best athletes at Murray State over the last few years. You know, I remember, you know, covering her as a sophomore, and just really impressed, you know, with what she was able to do. She will be one of, or is one of the best OVC throwers in history, and you know, I hope that she gets remembered and recognized as that, because she's been absolutely dominant in her college career, and it was great to see her, you know, go out and continue throwing well.
But the biggest weekend in terms of where I can wrap my head around it, because I don't know a lot about steeplechase and discus throw and things like that. But and this goes to Murray State baseball. And I know they didn't have the season that they wanted. They won't be in the OVC tournament. But you talk about going out with a bang. First, they beat Morehead State 27-7. And Tyler Lawrence had four homers, a 5-for-5 day, and 11 RBIs, enough to make Dave Winder. He was pacing, I guarantee you. But he hangs on to that RBI record one more time. But what a night for Tyler Lawrence.
Yeah, that was that was as dominant of a performance as we've seen. That was incredible. And, you know, I was actually trying to follow Dave's timeline more than I was the Murray State timeline once, Tyler Lawrence had his fourth home run. I was waiting to see if he was going to get another at-bat because I was more interested in Dave's reaction if the record would fall than I was the record actually falling, because what Tyler Lawrence had done up to that point, regardless of breaking the OVC's RBI record, was nothing short of impressive. So I was more interested in Dave's take on it. And I guess, that record will stand for another season here, but that was a heck of a performance and really a testament to the type of kid that he is. When things hadn't gone well for them in a very long time, to go out and to finish that strongly and to keep playing that hard, that says a lot about Tyler, and those are the type of guys you want to build a baseball program around.
Is it true that he took on the shape of a unicorn for a moment, rounding third on that floor? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think it is. Well, right. I don't know. It hasn't. I haven't heard any confirmation, but I haven't heard any like denial on that report either. So. I mean, it could be.
Did get to this in on Tyler. He was just this morning, got this from Murray State, named the Louisville Slugger National Player of the Week. And you think of all the players, that's quite an honor when you're able to do that.
Right, and I should hope so. That that's a heck of a stat line. That's a if you and I had to go out and play slow pitch softball right now, that would be a great week for us.
Yeah.
To try to get 11 RBIs. So I mean, that's a heck of a night. It's a great honor for him, and it's not often. Every now and then, you see a Murray State player receive national accolades on the diamond, and it's great when that happens because it's a lot of kids to have to go up against to win a National Player of the Week award.
Well, in high school, from I think like the first or second game of my freshman year, I started every game and hit two homers in 4 years. So he doubled my home run total in one freaking game.
Yeah, man. I've been playing slow pitch softball for about 7 years now, and I hit my first a few weeks ago. So
wow. Amazing. Well, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Pick your brain a little bit on the NBA playoffs. I know we don't talk a ton about them, but I had already put the Houston Rockets to bed, and their season was over. And what the heck happened? They came back at one game six and then one game seven too. What the heck?
Yeah. Epic collapse on the part of the Clippers. I mean, you have a 19-point lead in your building. Late, you've got to close that out, win the series, and move on. And, from that point on, I thought it was going to be really difficult for the Clippers to win. Once they let that lead slip away, once they let that game go to the Rockets and let Houston back in the series, yeah, I thought it was going to be really difficult for Los Angeles, especially having to play a Game 7 in Houston. I don't particularly think Houston's a great team. I know that record-wise they were the 2 seed out west, but I think James Harden is a really, really good player. I don't think he's one of the top 5 players in the league. And I think Dwight Howard is a good center. I don't think he's great. But their role players really stepped up, especially late in this series. And guys like Corey Brewer and Trevor Ariza were the difference. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, for as good as they are, the Clippers just didn't have any perimeter shooting. And it really cost them in Game 7 particularly. And now we're going to get a Houston-Golden State series, and Golden State won all 4 games, all 4 meetings in the regular season against Houston by double digits. So, we'll see if that trend continues or if Houston can make a series out of it.
Little baseball now. Your team, the Braves, they were hot over the weekend. They won 3. The Cardinals struggled a little bit against the Tigers, losing 2 out of 3. What's your take on the Braves this past weekend?
Well, it's always great when you could get another division manager fired, which is what happened with Mike Redmond in Florida.
So that was it? If you can't beat the Braves, get the heck out.
Right. I think that's it. And that tells you all you need to know about the Braves season and the respect of their peers.
Yes.
Obviously, the Miami front office didn't have a whole lot of nice things to think about the Braves after they fired their manager. But, it was nice, and it was really cool seeing Shelby Miller, find his groove. And you know, it's brutal to see him lose his no-hitter with two outs in the ninth. A.J. Pierzynski had some great comments on that, having been part of that once before. But, you take the complete game, the shutout, from Shelby Miller, and you hope that the rest of the pitching staff can continue to grow, because it is a young pitching staff and they are pretty good. And I do feel if there's one area that I have to be comfortable or confident with about the Braves moving forward, it's that rotation. And Shelby Miller is going to be a really big part of that for the next few years. So I thank you for sending him over.
Yeah, well, so far that's looking pretty good. He's been very good. And the Cardinals losing Wainwright, that hurts even more. But the Cardinals, I watched Saturday's game. They ran the bases like little leaguers, Ricky. normally, it's the Cardinals. You never see that out of them. Every team would make a mistake. They made three base running mistakes in a matter of like a 4 or 5 innings. I mean, just brutal stuff. And Hayward was one of those. He was at second base, a ball off the wall in left center field, and he watched it halfway between. Went back to tag up instead of playing it halfway, and by then he couldn't score, and it ended up at least costing him a chance to go into extra innings.
Yeah, and, Jason Hayward was one of my favorite players, when he was in Atlanta, but, the production just hadn't been there, and so as tough as it was to say goodbye, I was reluctant to want to get rid of him, but now, on the other side, you think, man, how beneficial has it been for the Braves in terms of getting a good young arm like Shelby Miller? But Hayward, his athleticism, there are very few outfielders in Major League Baseball with his type of athleticism, his defensive prowess. So I think you're still going to be okay, even though you'd have liked to have seen him score in that inning.
All right. Anything else you have?
No, that's it.
That's it. So we saved up a week of stuff, and that's all we got. I'm sorry. So, that's.
Are you coming? Are you coming down to visit for Memorial Day or
to your place?
Yeah.
No. Memorial, that would be like this weekend. Nope. Can't do that. I have to fold some socks that weekend. So.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now my wife would love doing that, but that's just too long a trip for me.
Well, we'd love to have you, so you just think about it, and I assume you get like 10 days off around Memorial Day. I know how you radio people are, so I assume you don't work.
I get Memorial Day off, and that's it.
Yeah, well, you got the days off, so you just come down and visit. If it's Friday night and you guys are thinking, hey, we should do something spontaneous, just let me know. We'll get the guest bed ready for you.
Sure, we'll do that. Rick, appreciate it. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
See you, man.
So much sports just to talk about, we used to flush it mostly away. With the miracle of the internet, now you can listen to us talk all day. Before we flush podcast, the better way to waste your time. Subscribe to it on iTunes, it doesn't cost you a dime. Talking local high schools in Murray State, Neil and Ricky will set you straight. Before we flush podcast.